preparation. So you are knowing who you're dealing with, making sure that your processes are fit for purpose for COVID-19 world, so correct terms and conditions, credit checking, everything like that. Communicate with your clients pre, on order, pre-delivery, after delivery. Make sure that they are happy with you. You can even check, one of the things to do is you can actually say to your clients, if you're not happy, just a favor, can you just write me a nice profile, a nice testimonial for the website? So again, if they're happy with the service they've got and you're engaged with them, they can't have no reason not to pay. It's conversation all the time.
You're listening to The Grow Show with me, Gary Jones. Hey folks, how are you doing today? Now, I am joined today with the fantastic David Baum from WCR Limited. And we're going to talk about money. We are going to be talking about credit control. We're going to be talking about business. We're going to be talking about credit checks and loads of other really cool stuff to help you grow your skills, grow your business and grow your community. So David, thank you so much for joining us today on The Grow Show. How are you doing?
I'm doing really well. Very excited about the future.
Good, good. So for people who don't know what WCR Limited means or what it does, how would you describe your business?
The actual title is called Working Capital Repatriators Limited. And it basically does what it says on the tin. We help repatriate your cash. Now, in general terms, it means we are seen as outsourced credit controllers. So we've replaced the dragon lady in the accounts department who would chase people, and she's never a certain, she was of an undistinguishable age. But we're also there when the credit control doesn't work and we have to be a bit tougher, and that becomes debt collection. But we're there actually to work with our clients and improve, help improve their life immeasurably.
Cool. So actually really important for any small business. You hear all the time that cash is king. And obviously, you know, you need to make sure that you've got these steps in place to be able to do it. How did you get into it? You know, have you been doing it for a long time?
I've been involved in the industry since the early 90s.
Okay.
I really, believe it or not, I used to sell promotional merchandise. And when I had to close that down, a friend of mine said, come work for my husband. He runs a debt collection agency. And I went, I'm not a door knocker. No, no. We don't want that. We've got collectors. We want you to come along and be a salesman. And I thought, okay, that's quite cool. And me being the person I am, I had to know more about how the industry worked. Because the perception of a debt collector was a door knocker, hobnail boots, looking like Grant Mitchell, sounding like the craze, wouldn't necessarily be the type of perception of an industry I wanted to be involved with. Mm. The reality was that the majority of the collections were usually by women who are much more powerful than men, and it was the services that they offered that intrigued me. And I learned, because of that, to me, I thought, I need to understand how to credit check people. How's credit checking work? How do you trace someone? What makes someone bite and say, yeah, I want to pay? And what persons, what makes people stick their head to the sand and go no? And what makes people basically dig their heels in and go away? And it was, I was very fortunate I was able to come into an industry that was evolving from very much that bang on the door, above the bookies type collection agency that we were so used to seeing, to a much more polished industry that we see now. And some of the things that I learned, I'm fascinated with the fact that each HMRC now are often using the instructing their collection agencies to work under the same principles that I developed independently in the 90s.
Brilliant. And I've been assessment to actually the formula that you use does work, which is great.
Correct.
You know, over the last 20 years, well, 30 years even, you know, the industry must have changed massively changed.
Well, as I said, it's gone from when I first started, the best that either people were more cautious about credit checking, but credit checking was not as clever, as clear as it is today. In those days, it was you didn't get an update today. It would be, sometimes you'd get a disc, and every quarter, something like RiskDisk would send out a fresh disc. So it really wasn't the most current data. But people were still used to the idea of going to your bank manager to get a credit reference for someone. And the problem with all credit checking in those days was it was, say, 3 to 6 months behind the times.
So well, it was pre-social media, pre-internet, really, wasn't it?
It was social, any form of online search thing. Now it's better, but it's still not perfect because it is only as good as the information that is known today. Now, today, if we have our accounts published and we've had a good year, we're going to get a higher score. If we have a cancel judgment registered against us, our score is going to plummet and it's going to stay down for the whole year, even if we pay it off within the month, so the CCCA disappears. So that's one thing. That whilst it's important to do credit checks, it's important actually to look behind the headline figures. And the trouble is, there's still a bit of mystique around that within my industry, because that is how a lot of agencies make money. Whereas, gotcha. As far as I'm concerned, our job is not to make money out of byproducts of what we do. Yeah. But that's changed. How people talk to their creditors, how agencies speak to their clients. At one point, it was always agency versus client versus debtor. The money would always come to the agent. The agent would then pay the client. Now, that's fine, except most agents are double bubble sometimes. Because what would happen is the agent, and I get told off, I could be the mass debt collector giving away trade secrets, but a lot of it's now stopped, so it's okay. What would happen is the agency would put on statutory interest and costs. The debtor would pay those interest and costs. The client would then send the money, less their commission, to the client. So there was always this. So once it came over, you weren't allowed to talk to your own client. Well, I felt that was wrong. And when I set up the business originally, it was to remove that whole stigma, that whole layer, strata, that says client, debtor, us. We, as the agency, represent the client. Therefore, there should be total honesty between client and supplier, us and the client. And it's a much healthier way. And I've noticed there's a lot more agencies that are now coming along, especially now in light of the COVID-19 situation, which is the real effect of what's happened. The lockdown that has been is not going to be felt for at least another 6 months, because we are going to start seeing now, we've had into going into liquidation. Edge administration last week was they will not be closing down the into stores because the councils own the land. It's how many retailers will remain.
So let's have a chat about, you know, the whole COVID-19 kind of situation over the last, 3 to 4 months and longer. How is that going to change what's going to be happening in your industry kind of in the next few months and long term?
Well, I can tell you this now, having spoken to people. Even the ones like with the revenue, they are not interested in taking people into court. Other agencies are happily accepting, trying to get payment plans from people, delaying payments, because nobody knows what to do. Whilst the courts are open, what's the point of issuing a judgment against someone? Because they could be going bust tomorrow. So it means what we're going to have to do is be smarter in our approach to doing business. Now, for us, one of our areas of work is we work with councils. The councils have made a decree prior to lockdown, when this was all blowing up, is no invoices are to be issued and no debt collection is to be encouraged until such time as COVID-19 blows over. It means that Joe Smith opening up a business today, and we know that people will now set up businesses. They've been on furlough, they're being made redundant. There are conversations happening all the time. They discover they love making, I thought it was on the register, he discovers he makes tree houses, and he discovers a talent, and he's going to set up, this person has set up a business that's doing tree houses. This is going to happen all the time. You know, you have a hobby. But the natural inclination when you're going into business is to give credit. And this is why you need to credit check. But I would turn around and say, I'm advising people, try not to give credit for the moment. If someone wants to do business with you, then ask for payment up front, but you can make it more advantageous. So what you do is you look at, let's say you want to sell a pen. And that pen has cost you 5p. And the person wants to buy 10,000 of those. And you would normally sell those for, say, 10p. So what you could do is say, right, unfortunately, they are now 12p if you want credit. But if you can pay me with order, you can have them for 10p. Everyone's going to say, well, that's a big saving. Let's pay for order. Mm-hmm. You've got no loss of chance of not being paid. And the money's in the bank. It's a lot healthier to be in your bank. That as things start easing off, you can then start looking at beginning to offer credit. But on a sensible thought that actually, as it was proved in Leicester, there could be a spike. That town your customers in could be closed down and they could be lose their business for 2-3 weeks. So you then have to judge that based on what's going on. But I think we have to, post-COVID Britain, post-COVID world, we're going to have to adjust what we do and how we do it. Mm-hmm. And expect that unfortunately companies will go bust.
So let's put a couple of scenarios over to you. You're a small business. Mm-hmm. You have debts from a supplier going back maybe 2-3 months. So before COVID, you've given them, and what steps should you do today to kind of start to kind of go through that process?
The first point is you need to establish, have they reopened?
Okay.
Because a lot of companies, whilst lockdown has been lifted, they're actually haven't reopened. I've got friends of ours who still furlough and they're not expected to go back into work until September. So the first thing you have to understand is, are they open? Mm-hmm. The second is pick up the telephone or an email that says, hi, we've noticed our account now overdue by 2 months. Can you please let us know when this is going to be paid? Now, if you send us an email, send it as a read and receipt. And also, if you get a bounce back, that tells you one or two things, either they're on lockdown or they've actually gone bust. Now, so that's the first thing. If you're getting that, then it's, you've got to leave it and then try again just in case they've been on lockdown. But if they're not, and they then speak to you, you can then understand what's happened. Their business has been affected and they understand they've got the debt with you. They will pay you as and when. Maybe you can arrange a payment plan. Never be frightened to ask for money. Really, once things get back to normal, credit control is actually a sales opportunity, because you can phone up before the invoice is due to be paid and go, you know what, John, I've got some amazing new widgets coming next week. They're going to be ideal for you. You are going to sell these out. They are brilliant. The price is awesome. I'd like you to say that. Oh, by the way, I've got an invoice due next week. Are we going to get paid on that? That's credit control. But you've also just made a potential further sale.
I like it.
It's all about working within what is the environment today.
Mm-hmm. So you assessed that it's open. You've made contact. I love what you said about the payment plan. That's a great idea. When it comes to, would you kind of talk about payments as well?
Can you say it again?
Would you say that maybe? That's fine. So I'm going to start go back a little bit in that case, and then I'll edit this bit out. So you've spoken about prepayment plans, and you've already assessed that they're open. You've made contact with them. You've maybe talked about a prepayment plan. Would you talk about deferred payments, or what would be the next steps after that?
I think it depends realistically on your relationship with your client. if you've had a good relationship with them and you're in a conversation with them, then the natural inclination is to want to work with them. But you don't never forget you have bills of your own to pay. I mean, so you have to, if you are going to offer deferred payment terms, either payment plan, you have to monitor it. There's no point offering John a payment holiday of 2 months and then not going for it for 6 months. All the agencies that you deal with, all the agencies that you deal with will have a monitor, a CRM system of some description where it identifies a date for a call. They will identify all conversation. So if you are going to record conversations, if possible, Zoom is great. If you can have a Zoom conversation with your clients, put it on record. It's just another way of making sure there's a record of the conversation, because eventually you may have to take them into court. You may have to go for adjustment. And what I'd like to advise people is, people believe, wrongly or rightly, that the moment you get a judgment issued against you, you're going to get your money. Wrong. A judgment in some cases will result in immediate payment, because if it's not paid within a month, it's on your credit file for 6 years. And it will affect your trading ability for the next year and your 12 months. And then it's a slow rebuild anyway. So some companies will pay it automatically, but for some, they don't care. Yeah, as well as it goes back to credit check. But even if you have a counterfeit judgment against someone, the thing you're gonna have to do is go for enforcement, which will cost, can cost money, but it will cost money with the civil bailiffs, but they're the ones that you need to go with. And hopefully then you'll get your money, but don't bank on money being coming over, because if someone's got a bit between their teeth and not interested in paying, or they've got no money, no assets, you ain't going to get it.
No, that's fair. Is there any things that you can do to kind of help you before it gets to this stage?
Yeah, as I said, it's conversation. One of my old directors says, George, or not war, war. Be ready. Understand who your client is. So, as I said, credit check. Now, for anyone that wants it, it's a free service we offer. We look into it, we look into the company, we look into the directors. Make sure you have correct terms and conditions of trade. That's vital. Even something as simple as making sure when you have late payment charges. We had a client who delivered coal, and his main fear was he'd go that he would his lorries would churn up grass around the and destroy gardening. So we actually created the terms that protected our client from potential charges of damage. So make sure the terms and conditions are watertight, because that then gives you a negotiating point. And there are fantastic solicitors out there. Again, these are the things that anyone can do as long as they understand. But make sure they're in English. I had a client years ago that had 70 clauses in her terms and conditions. Wow. 71, sorry. 35 were negated by the second 35, and the clause in the middle was in pidgin Latin. Didn't make sense. My son was doing Latin at school. I asked him to look at it. Asked the client, she went in. He looked in his dictionary, and he said, it doesn't make sense, that. And he says, this is total gobbledygook. They just put a whole load of Latin words in it. It's so fat there, etc. And it was a trigger question that the client, the person who was signing the terms, that they'd read the terms and conditions, should have picked up. But it was so many, and that's what the solicitor had done, basically put a whole lot of rubbish in, because if you go into court, you say, this is such as my terms and conditions, the judge goes, oh, well, did you read that? Oh, no. Sorry, you've lost. So when I write them in English. And all terms and conditions really are what you as supplier need from your client, and more important, what you expect from your client. And if you do not abide by those terms and conditions, they're not clients anymore, then you can enforce the terms and conditions. But one of them should be a term that makes them ask the question. So for instance, often I will write, when I write them, you will provide XYZ with a plate of biscuits and a cup of tea. It's a nonsense. But if they ask the question, why a cup of tea and a plate of biscuits, then you know they've read the terms and conditions.
Like it.
So
I like it.
it's a little tip, things like that, which people don't actually understand. Being a business can be the most awesome, the most inspiring thing to do. You've taken that leap of faith. I mean, let's face it, as I said, now people are going to have to make that decision. And you've gone from employed to self-employed, or as an employee of your own company, which I would always recommend people do. Never be self-employed. Never always be employed, much healthier, especially when you look at now, that if you're self-employed, it's hard to get government funding. If you're an employee, you can get the furlough payment. But it's a great life. It can be very lonely. But then the other thing I would say to everyone is join networking groups. Networking traditionally was when you walked into a room, was probably the most fearful thing. You as an individual can go into a room with 20 to 40 people you've never met. You're expected to stand up and talk for 40 seconds about your business and give referrals. Oh, scary. But now with online networking, it's actually a much more relaxed way of doing it. Because realistically, you've only got one person that you're talking to. And everyone should be able to talk about their business to one person for 40 seconds.
I love it. And I am the full advocate of networking. As you well know, and we met through Four Networking, which was great.
But so again, we would never have met without the Four N had to change the whole process, because I was based in the southeast. I would go around it down to Exeter, Devon, to all over the country to do my talks, but I wouldn't be there on a regular basis.
No. And same here, I'm based in the Midlands, and I'd get down to you maybe once a year, if. Very, very lucky, you know, it's one of those. But no, full advocate. And what I've loved about this interview is that we could do the same interview in 6 months' time, in a year's time, and we'll probably cover loads of different points at each of these different stages, because it is an evolving beast. So over the last 20 minutes, we've been talking about loads of different things. But equally, in a month's time, we could have another chat. So let's carry on this conversation. Because I think that's really important to kind of develop those relationships and for you to come onto the show at another time and just give quick updates here and there, if that's okay.
Absolute pleasure, Gary. Anytime you want.
Brilliant. Now, at the end of the interview, I ask people two questions. The main one for me is all about what your big takeaway is, your final thought. So to kind of, before we go to websites and social media links, David, what is your final thought of the show?
I'm going to go back to what I keep saying. Preparation, so you are knowing who you're dealing with, making sure that your processes are fit for purpose for COVID-19 world, so correct terms and conditions, credit checking, everything like that. Communicate with your clients on order, pre-delivery, after delivery, make sure that they are happy with you. You can even check, one of the things to do is you can actually say to your clients, if you're not happy with this paper, can you just write me a nice profile, a nice testimonial for the website? So again, if they're happy with the service they've got, and you're engaged with them, they can't have no reason not to pay. It's conversation all the time. Go backwards to go forward.
Brilliant. And I think conversation is key.
One suggestion that everyone who's going into business should read one book. It was written by Dale Carnegie in the 1930s. It's called How to Influence and Influence People. It will teach you how to get yes from your clients. Because trust me, you get yes, they're a client for life.
I would highly recommend that book for anybody. I absolutely love those messages. And for me, conversation is absolutely key. That's brilliant. How can people find more info about you? Have you got websites? Are you on socials? Shout out.
Very simple. You can find us at www.wcr-uk.co.uk. You can always message me on Facebook. You find me on LinkedIn. Again, if you're in business, go into LinkedIn. There's the greatest online social, online networking people. Don't, jury's out on Twitter. I'm on Twitter, but it is not about, Twitter is not the be all and end all for business. Phone me. Pick the phone up. I'm happy to talk to anyone. 01923 819692. Anytime. Not maybe 10 o'clock at night, but at all.
Love the caveat. That's brilliant. David, thank you so much for your time today.
My pleasure, Gary.
Let's catch up again in the next couple of months. And yeah, take care, my friend. Thank you.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Real quick message before we leave the show. Just wanted to let you know that we have got a Facebook page called The Grow Show Podcast. So type that into Facebook, The Grow Show Podcast. This is where you'll find all the latest updates, news, events. Plus also, this is where you'll be able to get on The Grow Show as well. Plus, listen to previous episodes. So hope you enjoy this podcast. If you do, please share it with peeps. But also, let's connect on Facebook under The Grow Show. Take care, my friends. I'll see you next time.